have an only expectation. Is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 14, the stanza 4 and 7. Oh, what is man in thy regard, to hold so large a place? And the seventh stanza, thy mighty works and wondrous grace, thy glory, Lord, proclaim. 4 and 7, 14. Scriptures this evening can be found in the letter of Paul to Titus, the third chapter, Titus chapter 3, before we confess our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the 12 articles.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Titus 3, starting at verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, we confess that we are not what we should be, that we do not what we should do, and that we are not what we should have ourselves. And therefore we draw nigh unto thy footstool as a beggar, to give what we don't have, but not for our purpose, to be what we are not, but not for our purpose, but for thy glory. As we have the name of Reformed or Christian or Child of God, people are looking to us, what and who is their God. O Lord, remember us in mercy this night, that thou mayest open the scriptures unto us and apply it to our souls, for we want to know, but no one is experiencing. We need the application of thy Spirit to know these things by faith. Not have a certain knowledge in all kinds of books and letters and thoughts, but being made a new man in Christ, renewed daily, dying to self, living unto thee. O Lord, work it in our hearts, please. Remember the sick and afflicted. Remember families of which we heard that a friend passed away in the Netherlands, with which we have been for so many years in the ministry. Remember the family Kibon, Lord. When Walter has gone home, what an empty place. Remember the Mimorshi, the boys and the girl, children, grandchildren. But we pray also for the church worldwide, its inner people. There's a certain darkness over it. But shine, please, again, once more, convicting and setting free. Ah, help us to preach, for it's thy ministry and thou hast sent us. And we sometimes think we can, and we are so proud and totally wrong. Our ability isn't there. That thy glory may be seen and the work of thy Spirit may be experienced in the congregation. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Titus in the last or second chapter has said in 14, who gave himself, that's Christ, as a substitute for us, and he speaks about the believers, the children of God, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And what's redemption? That's put to liberty, set free. It's put to liberty or slave from all iniquity. We were slaves of iniquity and sin. By nature we are. And purify, not for your, but unto himself. God works always unto himself. Peculiar people, special people, purified by God, zealous of good works. It doesn't say doing a lot of good works, but zealous of good works. A zealous desire, a holy desire. And then he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. He was young, probably. And then in chapter 3 he continues and speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. The first place, how do you deal with the government of Crete? The Roman government. They were heathens, worshipping the emperor. Would you openly deny them and despise them? Should we despise a worldly government? Well, I'll speak a bit about it, but put them in mind to be subject to the principalities that are the governments and the powers, the authority, those who exercise the power instead of the government. Let's say the king is the government, the principality, and the authority is given to the prime minister and the people in Gonker and so on. Put them in mind to be subject, to listen to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Listen, be ready to every good work. And secondly, then he speaks about relationship with all man. I speak no evil. We're no man, we're no brawlers, Gentile, and so on. I want to underline that Paul doesn't say do this. He says be so. We always want to say do this, or don't do it. But the Bible teaches us be so. That's convicting. If it's only works, we try to do it. But if you have to be, have mercy upon me, Lord. Goes a bit deeper. Be no wrongs. Be gentle, showing mercy and meekness to all man. And then he says, yeah, in the past, yeah, you were like them. And then he speaks about the power of that grace. And I'm going no further than verse 8. He says, we are not saved by works. You hear? Not saved by works. No good works. Of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then a wonderful expression. It looks like John is speaking here. John, his last gospel. But according to the mercy he saved us, to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he, that's the Holy Ghost, Christ, the Holy Ghost, shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying, that these things I will affirm constantly. He says, preach it, tell it, say it constantly. Always. I've heard people say, you preach always the same. Constantly. Affirm. Constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man. This far, but we'll go to details. But let's first think, 140, 1 through 4. God be merciful to me, let's follow it. don't mock with the government. Put in my mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Some people, Anabaptists in the past, rejected any government. No oath, no service in the army, no law, no government. Christ is the King. But you here see clearly that Paul says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Let me give an example. When in the 80th war in the Netherlands we got a reformed country, we had to make new laws. Not the law of Philip II, Spanish king, but new laws. And the first fountain, of all laws, was the scripture. But they said, not without a reason, the first fountain was scriptures. And what is scripture? But the second fountain was the law of the Roman Empire. Paul says in Romans 13 that we should obey, and again he says here too, the government, for good sake. There were laws, the Roman Empire, they had to be adhered to. And they were straight and right. You see it here again. We should obey the government if they have laws according to the law of God. We should obey them even if they bring us to pay taxes. Well, we don't like high tax, but be subject. There is a time today that they say there should be a separation between church and religion, church and government, state and church. But congregation, the people, let's go, and I come to it more. But the people are saying we should separate state and church. Do you know what they do in the United States? Take away the crosses. I'm not so for crosses. But they don't want religious symbols. They say there should be a separation between church and state. For good. They shouldn't encourage Christian schools. Or pay them. But they are busy in breaking down true religion. If you're a baker, you don't want to bake for a homosexual pair. What can I say? What's the other pair? Then you go to the court. Instead, they would say, we don't bother. We say we separate state and church. They don't separate state and church. They persecute this church. The states, also here. Socialism wants to be the father of the nation. And they want to have the hearts of the people. In Russia, you couldn't go to school, to the church. They left the church a bit alone sometimes. But you couldn't go to church until you were 18 years. Do you know what Lenin said? He says, if I have the youth, I have the old age too. They say we separate church and state. But they are influencing the nations today with antagonism against religion, against Christ and the truth. And it will be worse, I think. Secondly, Calvin says we need a Christian government. I say, and the Bible says, we need Christians in the government. There is not a Christian government. There is not a Christian football club. You can't use the name Christ for all our endeavors. But Paul says, pray for those who are in the government. Pray for those. We should ask the Lord to put people in government that fear him. And the nation will change. A government will be different. Like Daniel feared the Lord. And he was the second in the country, although he was a Jew. We have so-called Christian parties, Christian groups. But I believe with Luther more and more, the government is for punishing the evil, supporting the good, and Luther said, if you're a Christian, you are listening to a good government. For Christ rules you with word and spirit. Christ rules the church by word and spirit, is the king, is the prophet, the priest, and the king. When a government is mixing or mingling itself in religious matters, persecution starts. It shouldn't. For God's people is always in the minority. Paul says, obey the government even if it's the wrong government in itself. When you see that they do good things, they have also a conscience. Obey them. Are you against Christian government? I'm saying there is no Christian government. There are Christians in the government. I've seen in the Netherlands, I shouldn't say it too much, but I've seen Christian parties. We need Christians called to be prince, prime minister. Do you pray for it when we have an next election? That God will send people. And the government is to rule, to punish those who are openly violent, disobedient, in one way. I know I can give a closed concept, I can't. But do you know, when I was young, and I saw things happening time and again, I can even say where I stood, and I got to believe that there would come a time that the government would bless the evil and condemn the good. We're in it. We're in it. Even in the United States, and Pastor Barawai is so practical, they today say that when a child even is born, you can kill it after birth, if the mother wants it. I'm sometimes so discouraged. Lord, what is it? What's going on? Okay, that's one. Secondly, he says, speak no evil, speak evil of no man, and to be no brawlers. My dear congregation, that's the same in Galatians. The evil works are always shown in the Bible. But to be good and good works are different. If the Lord says that we should love one another, he doesn't say what and how you do love one another. He speaks about the being of a Christian. And that being, let's say, should be love even your enemies. Not in the first place what you do, but what you are. And now I speak to the children of God. If you're a new creature, you know what you are. But there is a power in you that always is against it. The good you would, that you are, you don't. And what you hate, you do. Therefore, a new man is a spiritual man in Christ Jesus. And he knows what he desires, he even knows what he is. When you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. But that new creature doesn't do what it should do, and what it hates it does. So when Paul says, you shouldn't be a brawler. You should be gentle. Showing all meekness to all men. You all agree. But now honest. Do you show meekness to all men? Do you know what meekness is? If they ask the rope, give also the coat. No, he has to work for it, right? When they mock with you, don't curse them, but bless them. When they hate you, love them. In congregation, when I went to church, I said, Lord, that's it. I know. That's my inner being. But to do good, I don't find. See, Augustine said, when you always go by works and say you have to do this and that, the devil is very handy. He says, do all these things and they will think you're a Christian. But Paul says, be. Be holy, for I'm holy. That's not a command. He makes you in Christ holy, sanctified. But everything in your own old nature fights it. And therefore, if Paul says, be, it's really convicting. It convicted me today. So I said, Lord, oh, really, I should be. But the good, I would. And on. And the evil, I hate. I do. I'm not telling you what I did. But being is, when Paul says be, it's more convicting than do. If it's do, you should try. A legalist always speaks about do. Christ speaks about be. It's wonderful. Galatians 5, find it later. You'll see it there. But how can I? Now Paul goes into it. He says, but that the kindness and love of our Savior towards man appeared. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Of God our Savior. Appeared is, has shone upon you. Epiphany. When you're a Christian, Christ has shined upon you. With what? With kindness. So friendly. Isn't it? Even if you were not so kind, he stayed to be kind. And love. Hey, prodigal. Hey, boy, you took all my heritage away. You wished me dead. But the moment he appeared and couldn't walk further, the Father walked to him and kissed him on his both cheeks. Love. God loves. Shh. What's not lovable? And we are not lovable. We're not so nice. Not so kind. How did he do it? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. God doesn't love us because of works of righteousness we have done. We haven't done not a single one by measurement of law and holiness of God. But according to mercy, he saved us. Mercy in the Bible, also, it's charis here, is a legal term. You can only get grace if you're condemned. Today they say we have already grace before we are condemned. That's nonsense. When someone in the court has his sentence, then the President of the United States can give him grace, release him. When God makes us guilty, and puts our noses in the dust. He doesn't look to our righteousness, for we have all these sins. But His grace is. He says, I take your sins and lay it on my Son. And I take His righteousness and give it to you. For love's sake. For love's sake. Not because you're a goody-goody. You're not. You have no good works. He saved us from His wrath. And He calls it in this text, it is nice, a washing of regeneration. But then not only, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Two things. To be made a new creature. First, you need the washing of regeneration. It points to baptism. But not to the fact of water, but to the signified matter. Now, what's the washing? Baptism. That's going under in the water in the wrath of God and coming out of it clean. There you're washed. As if you had never done nor done any evil. For the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But listen, the washing is just a ceremony. It's not the signified manner. But the sign. In the Roman Catholic Church, they made the sign the matter. They said, if you're baptized, God works in your heart and gives you love. They make baptism a power. But the Bible is clear here. It's a sign of regeneration. Baptism is not regeneration. It's a sign of going under in judgment, being raised with Christ. It's a new life. That's regeneration. And every child of God here in our midst knows what I'm saying. There was a time that you were lost, isn't it, dear? You were under in the wrath of God. But Christ was with you. And He was raised, and He raised you out of death. Being made a new creature. And that moment, you'll never forget. That's regeneration. So regeneration is not, now I got a new heart and a desire and this and that. And the word He used is palingenesia. It's to be born again. In John, it's born again, that's born from above, Arrow 10. But here, it's being born, you start to be a new man in Christ. And all old things are passed away. You're washed from all your uncleanness. And you are made a new creature. Now David was a new creature, we saw, eh? He was is a new man in Christ, isn't he? Producing here, congregation. Transgressions, I confess, grieve and guilt my soul oppressed. I sinned against thy grace. And provoked it to thy faith. That's not the sum of his conversion, of his made new. It's a sum of spiritual life in strife and struggle. When the evil lusts in David were burning. Do you know what he says? Create in me a new heart. Why did he say that? Tell me. He knew what a new heart was, but he felt his old heart. Congregation, the more new you are, the more old you be. Luther said in the First Peter letter, he says, when faith and love of the Holy Spirit enters into your soul, all sinful desires start to make you weak. The world isn't bothered by it, but God's people are bothered by it. And more than you want to know. And you feel it. Why? You know what's a no man. And you have that bag of worms on your back. Create me a new heart. I've sinned against grace. Against love. I am not what I should be. Paul says, I have no sin. I'm a new creature, he said. But there is a sin in me that sins. That's the old nature. Why do you say this? For a reason. Many people think if you're a child of God, then it doesn't bother you so much anymore. It starts to bother you more than ever. And Peter says, by that affliction in your soul, you start to be weak. You have no strength to fight it even. No. Therefore the Lord Jesus said when he left, he said, without me, you cannot do anything. That's not defending my evil nature. You see what happens when God convicts you after grace. But my dear congregation, is here a sinner in our midst who can't fight no more? We're attacked. Day and night. And Paul knows it. And God knows it. He knows our evil nature and our weaknesses. But don't fight your weaknesses. Surrender them by grace to God. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. Legalists always want to do better. God's people tried it and couldn't do it. Paul says they're more than the hairs of my head, says David. Sins in me and against me. And again, congregation. We know what it is to be a new man, and we know what it is that sin in us fighting that old man. And I have no strength. But his strength is made perfect in, not after that I'm strong again, in my weakness. Therefore Paul says, I delight in my weakness, that the power of God might be revealed to me. Let Christ by the Holy Ghost fight your sins, and he will overcome it. But the more you will fight, the bigger loser you are. More than victorious in him. Let's say 141, 1 and 4. Grace is God, my heart will. Now listen, that's a Christian. That's not someone who is a wealthy man. That's a Christian. That's David. 1 and 4. To be renewed. I've said a new creature. But Paul says more, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you're a new creature, you must be renewed. That's a continuous work. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost that sanctifies you, convicts you, leads you again to Christ, and gives the fruit of communion with Christ in your soul. That's peace and love for righteousness. So, some people say, I know I'm holy. I say, no. If you're a new man and you know what's the new man, you need to be renewed. Again, and my dear congregation, I've 100 times said, and I'm not tired of it, if grace is given to you, are to be. First you are, then to be. The indicative precedes the exhortation. Some have said the imperative, I better like the exhortation. I am a new creature to be renewed. Therefore our Father said, I am reformed to be always reformed, continually. Reformata, sempre reformanda. Thus I am reformed to be reformed. For when I'm reformed, I know I'm not reformed and I want to be reformed. I know what it is to be a new man in Christ. We call it, Costellus wrote a book, he said, a spiritual man. Then you're a spiritual man. But that spiritual man has a lot of enemies within and without. He is the biggest enemy of himself. Paul says, sin that is in me, my old nature. That's dying daily to self. Being more and more convicted by the gospel. Being put ashamed. Broken hearted. Contrite spirit. Weak, helpless, but not hopeless. For he gives another thing for the strength of spiritual life. For being justified by his grace, righteous in his sight, as if he had never sinned, a new man. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When you start to travel, and it depends where you're traveling to, but you have to pack your suitcase, isn't it? You have to prepare for traveling. And if you're traveling to a land without sin and glory, and you really feel it by love, should that not be a power of Christ restraining you? Being made ready to go, to please him who called me out of darkness to his marvelous light. Paul uses the same example in other letters. His hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is poured out in your heart. That love makes hope, isn't it? Yeah. His love makes hope. With his love there isn't change. You love me even when I sometimes prove the opposite. And if that's really experienced in your life, it's a power of renewing grace. If you have hope, now let's say a mother is waiting for her son and he was in military service somewhere in the world. But she got the message from the government that John would be home, let's say, within a week. That transforms, that hope transforms her daily work. She buys new suit, new tie, new shoes. She buys with the grocery all what John likes and she piles it up. She you know why? Hope, 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 hope. Hope. If you have hope, because the love of God is put on your heart. It changes your life. When you're sighing, the Lord says, I know your weakness, but you don't need to stay here always. You're getting old ones. Burying that old man, that rotten old man, with his evil character, his lies, his evil lusts. And I believe, but that's practical, the more I'm in communion with the Savior, the more I get abhorrence of myself. Hope. My daughter-in-law is pregnant, and yet this week, I don't know why they do it here, but they do it. They give presents, I don't know even how it's called, but so yeah, that's it. She get already some presents. Changes the life not only of her, but of the whole family for a little bit. There is some power in it, in that hope. Hope renews. For the love of God is put out in your heart by the Holy Ghost. In the house of my Father are many mansions. I always wrestle, says Paul, to stay with him for the mission, for the work. But the best would be to be with the Lord Jesus. Is it? Then your life is renewed. Will be renewed. Heaven has an influence. The sun shines. Light and mercy. But no honest, no honest. My dear, when you're hopeless, did you get hope in God, in Christ? The future is a danger here. Fearful thing. It doesn't bring love in your heart, but fear. But when you're a new creature, the moment you got to be a new creature, you had such a love and such a desire. Tell me if it's not true. To be with Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And by grace of the Holy Spirit that keeps you going, through many tribulations, the desert, fears, afflictions. And the nearer you live with the Lord, the more you have. But in this all, and not after this all, and not before this all, in this all, we rejoice in the Lord, the conqueror of my soul, the King of glory, to come. And he says, preach this always, he said. Preach this now always. First justification, down, up, no man. And then the renewing of hope, the Holy Ghost, dying daily, that this life might be buried, but living to future by the grace and love of God. I hope God will work it in your heart, otherwise you're the most poor man in the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, remember us in mercy. I know some people have heard this and want to go by the law. And try to do it. Poor man. more you try to do it, the less it goes. If you can't do it anymore, he does it in you. Really, Lord. And sometimes he let you go bankrupt to give you new heart, new life. I don't know. Please, Lord, work in these souls here, created for eternity. Make them beggars on the dunghill, waiting for the hope of love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We think lastly, 444, 5 and 7. 444, 5 and 7. Like as a father looks with compassion into his children, lo, in such a fashion. 5 and 7. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river, which followeth. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God. The love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.